Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro. I am joined by my beautiful co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome. Mahalo. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to unleash your God-given purpose. The power of praise and worship. It changes lives, settles the chaos, brings joy, promise, and peace. It inspires us to the hope of the impossible. Today's guests, Ross and Kimmy Yamamoto, share their amazing journey through their ministry of praise and worship, and how it has changed so many lives, especially their own. We take a minute to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It's to lead you to the hope of Jesus Christ. There is always hope in Him. No matter what you are going through, He died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, for Suzanne's sins, shed His blood for all, was buried and died, but He was raised on the third day. He rose again to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. His mercies are new every single day. Today, He is calling you. Ross and Kimmy Yamamoto are the worship leaders at New Hope Hawaii Kai. They have led worship for 25 years and have been married for 22 of those years. Ross is a manager at Infinity, and Kimmy has her own cleaning and massage therapy business. As well, they have three children ranging from the ages of 11 to 16. That's busy life. Welcome, Ross and Kimmy, to our show.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming, putting aside three kids and all the things that you do.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. So let's, we want to talk a lot about your journey, your 25 years in worship, where God has led you, where He has helped you. But let's kind of start at the beginning. So Ross, where are you from and where'd you grow up?
I'm from Oahu. I was born and raised here on the southeast side of the island. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to Kaiser High School, graduated from Kaiser, and we still live in the Hawaii Kai area now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So you went to high school at Kaiser.
We've got a local boy.
Yay. That's a good thing. And Kimmy, how about you?
I was born in California, and I moved to Hawaii when I was 10 and went to Kaiser as well. Mm-hmm. Ross is 3 years older than me, so okay. I was a freshman when he was a senior.
Okay. But,
yeah, and so I basically grew up in Hawaii. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So both of you pretty much from the east side of Oahu, yep. Known each other since high school. Wow, we'll get into that.
Well, and did you meet when he was a senior and you were a freshman? Or
no, we didn't. I knew who he was.
But where did you meet?
We met at Hope Chapel. We used to go to Hope Chapel in Hawaii Kai. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we met, I would say. Yeah.
Well, and that Hope Chapel began in our living room, and that's why I wanted to ask, because we go way back, and what an incredible time that was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. So, Ross, who influenced you most when you were growing up?
Oh, I would have to say, I mean, besides my parents, who they have their own story and testimony, mm-hmm. of grace, of how God had miraculously saved them. From my dad was, I guess, in a long story short, he lost everything gambling.
Wow.
They were on the verge of divorce. And in the midst of that chaos, my dad had nowhere to go. And someone preached him the gospel and he got saved. Started going to church and Bible study. My mom never came. And then the Lord worked on her. She got saved and they started bringing us. And then my sister and I got saved.
You know, Ross, I didn't know that story.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Wow. Yeah.
So was your dad, your mom, your greatest influence? Or?
Yeah, they were, you know, in the sense of, my parents aren't musicians or anything, but in the sense of introducing me to Jesus, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so the legacy of their story and my dad's story and his father, you know, for generations they were Buddhist. And, you know, I think from my dad, now this story is different. Mm-hmm. My kids are different. My life is different. Mm-hmm. So everything is, I think, changed up to that point. I think big influences, though, when I was young, I'm honestly so as a 8-year-old is when I got saved.
Wow.
I don't know much about the Bible or spiritual things, but I remember being 8 years old, sitting in the church service, small little church, someone leading worship on something called the Omni Chord, which is not the most pleasant instrument to lead worship from. It's very interesting. But I remember being 8 years old, sitting in the service and just weeping under the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so even at that young age, I think 8 years old, the Lord marked me. Mm-hmm. He preserved me in many ways. I've done things that, you know, I've gone my own way a bunch mm-hmm. of times, but I think the Lord has preserved me. So most impactful in those moments, which I didn't know at the time, was Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And then secondly, I think it was Keith Green. Honestly, yeah, I used to listen to a lot of Keith Green, yeah, yeah, Amy Grant, I think, and Michael W. Smith, I think, at the time was big, but I used to listen to a lot of Keith Green and be like, oh, yeah, this is so. And Keith Green's message, I think I still identify with it at this in this day and age. Is so at 8 years old, I knew that life was short, I just knew that, I knew that I might die anytime, or when, if I'm 60 or if I'm 80, if I have strength, the Bible says. But that's a very short time. I just knew eternity. I think the Lord placed eternity on my heart, even at 8 years old. And so the idea of the white picket fence, the American dream, it just never, ever, it never sparked my interest. I just knew that it doesn't really matter. Those things just don't matter. And I think that was Keith Green's message too. You know, and Rich Mullins, those guys. Yep. And so I really identified with that, and I still do to this day.
Wow.
I don't believe in the American dream or the white picket fence or the material. I just, you know, and the Lord has blessed us. We're very fortunate to have all the things we have. So, but yeah, I think those are some of my main influences growing up. Yeah.
I mean, when you think about the world today, the kids are so pressured in so many ways more than we ever are. You know, they can see it on their phone all day long. They can see everybody else's story.
And, sure.
But to have the strength within you that didn't matter at such a young age, it protected you from some of these peer pressure, especially, you know, trying to live up or live down or live like your peers. So,
yeah.
What an amazing life that was as a young man.
And so even at that age, and now I can put language to it, I think, more, but it's that, you know, I discovered some years ago, I would probably say 8 or 9 years ago, you know, you always hear that God loves you, and it's evident with the life and death of Jesus, and I understand that. But one day I realized, and I heard someone say it, that God actually likes me, too.
Yeah.
So I know he loves me, but he likes me.
Yeah.
And so God is a God of emotion.
Yeah.
He was moved with compassion. He got angry. Jesus displayed emotion. Just read the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he feels about me, even at 8 years old, I couldn't put language to it, but I understood that he actually loves me. He likes me. And that really has defined my life, meaning that I can sit here today, if I don't achieve anything in ministry, in business, if my kids don't become astronauts or, you know, a scientist, what doesn't matter to me. I actually sit here today, right now, and I'm successful.
Yeah.
Because of the way Jesus feels about me.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And that
I
is
love
my
that.
Life.
Awesome. He has your picture on his refrigerator.
I'm his favorite one.
I like
one.
That.
I am Jesus'
well,
favorite
no,
one.
Well, I'd have to argue. I might be his favorite.
I think he has a big refrigerator. But yeah. I do want to say, in all the time I've been with Danny, I don't ever remember anyone, Ross, saying that the most influential person was the Holy Spirit. And the beauty of that is that you recognize that, because it is in all of our lives if we love Christ and are trying to be Christ-like. Mm-hmm. But that at 8 you even recognize that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't know. I just would weep. And it's happened throughout my whole life. And every time even to this day, I sense the presence of the Lord.
Mm.
I start to, it's the way I react to his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. Even, I'm having a hard time talking even now because I sense the, Holy Spirit, and I'm familiar with His presence, and because it's something I desire and I long after. But I can sense Him even now.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you,
Kimmy. I want to give you some mic time. Yeah. I mean, this is just amazing. But who influenced you, and when did you meet the Lord?
So I was raised in a Christian home, or. My parents always said that they were Christian.
Church attending?
No.
No.
So okay. We never attended church, but they raised me to believe in Jesus, that He died for my sins. So that was never a question for me. And then when we moved to Hawaii, I met a friend, and her dad was a youth pastor at a church. So I started going to church with her. I think that was in about sixth grade. Wow. And I went to a camp. And the guy that was preaching at the camp, he asked if anybody wanted to receive Jesus into their heart. And I'm sitting down thinking, no, I already have. But again, Holy Spirit is like, you need to go up. You need to go up there. And I'm like, no. I'm like fighting with him. No, I don't need to. I know Jesus. Like I have, you know, I was born into a Christian home, you know. And Holy Spirit's like, you need to go. Obviously, again, at that time, I didn't know it was Holy Spirit. But now when I look back, I'm like, oh, yeah, that was Holy Spirit. So I go up there. I get up. I go up there. And in the moment I stand up there and I surrender my life on my own decision, surrender my life to the Lord, I just start crying, bawling. So I mark that as the day that I, for myself, decided to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't my parents' faith. It was mm-hmm. my own.
Yeah.
And I would say, as far as the most influential person, well, definitely one of both of my parents, but mostly my mom. Mm-hmm. Just the way that she loved. I have a sister, and just the way she loved the both of us, mm-hmm. and the way that she talked to us, but her love for us to me was just a reflection of the way Jesus loves me, mm-hmm. and. Yeah, I just, you know, it was always welcoming. It was never disappointed, or she just, I don't know, she was just always such a big influence for me. And then obviously growing up, you know, and so like in high school, junior high and high school, I had mentors, usually women who were about 10 years older than me, that I spent time with. And it wasn't maybe necessarily them sitting down with me, opening the Bible and going through like a scripture, but it was even just being at their house and watching them take care of their kids and just talking with them and seeing how they did life, how they loved Jesus, but took care of their family as well. And then we also had Bible studies and prayer times within that. But I definitely always had mentors in my life to walk me through things I was going through. And they were always very patient with me. And even though I maybe been doing something at the time that they didn't agree with or wearing clothes that they didn't agree with, they, you know... And I would come to Bible study and maybe wearing something that was inappropriate. But, you know, my mentor, you know, she would just love me and, you know, she was patient with me and just walked me through gently through, you know, life. And, you know, wasn't pointing her finger at me or disappointed, but just very lovingly as Jesus would, you know, walk me through different seasons of life. Right. Yeah.
Wow. We're going to take a quick break right now. But we're here with Russ and Kimmy Yamamoto. And what's really striking me is just... The Holy Spirit took a hold of each of these people at elementary school at a very young age. They were marked and they knew it and they heard His voice and they made that conscious choice. And it happens, people. It happens. Our kids are hearing from Jesus. And if we'll honor that and we'll walk them through that and walk along with them, then they are going to do mightier things than we could ever hope or imagine. We're going to hear more about what the Yamamotos have been doing since then, because they are amazing things. And what Jesus has led them through to the mountains, the valleys. Stick with us. It's an amazing story of God's love. We'll be right back.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Act active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha Lani Ka'a here with Suzanne Maurer. We're in studio for Danny Yamashiro, and we have some special guests for sure today. Before we continue, though, I want to just welcome you. If you'd like to hear this entire program, we're interviewing Ross and Kimi Yamamoto today. And you missed the first segment, or you're going to have to leave early, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it. You can download it. You can share the link for others who would like to hear it. It's a great story. TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. Ross and Kimi Yamamoto have been worship leaders in the church for 25 years. Their gift to lead others to the foot of the cross has truly, truly blessed many. God has so many things to say about worship. Way back in Exodus, Moses tells the Israelites to worship the Lord, and he will bless their food and drink. The psalmist says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Worship, such a big thing. So what is worship to you, Ross?
Worship to me. So at New Hope Hawaii Kai, where we just been for the last year, when we came on and we're kind of talking to the pastors over there, you know, they asked us to build a worship culture, right? So I said, okay, a worship culture. Right, that's what you want. Yes, that's what we want. I said, okay. Because music, to me, has 10 to 15% of what we do is part of worship, right? So worship, I think, is best, you can see it the best is, I think, Mary of Bethany. Mm-hmm. When she's sitting at Jesus' feet and she's gazing up at him, and you know she's intently listening to every single word that he says. Mm-hmm. To me, that is the best picture of worship. It's a lifestyle. And every time you see Mary of Bethany, she's at Jesus' feet. Mm-hmm. Whether it's her brother dies, she falls at his feet. You know what I'm saying? She was just, it's that Mary of Bethany lifestyle. That is true worship to me. So it has very little to do with the stage. And I remember going through, we're going to cover a little later our journey, mm-hmm. of when we went to the International House of Prayer, but I think a lot of it now has to do with my closet. And I can honestly say in my life now, I'd rather be in my closet with Jesus than any other place. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be there than be on a stage. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be there than talking in front of people or doing a radio show. I'd rather be there than being at work. Mm-hmm. I mean, even more than I love my wife and my children, I'd rather be with Jesus in my closet more than to be with my wife and children. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think it's out of that place that's where my worship happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I shut the door and I go in there and I'm with Jesus, and that's true worship to me.
So it's not necessarily just a prayer closet. It's a worship closet. I like this. This could be a whole new thing for us.
Yes. It's prayer and worship for sure.
I love it.
Yeah. And Kimi, you worship in the church. You lead worship in the church. Mm-hmm. What is the function? What is the importance of having worship in church?
I think it's the thing is that I think a lot of focus is put on those 20 to 30 minutes on a Sunday. Mm. And the importance of that time, what I want to hopefully get across, because it's such a small window of time, but to really try and encourage and lead the church to know that it's not just about these songs. Like it's taking everything you're saying, because it's in song form, but you're talking to the Lord mm-hmm. through in song. So it's praying, really. But it's getting a mindset of my whole life, everything I do is worship unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. And everything else is second to that. Mm-hmm. And two of the things the Lord's been putting on my heart is that I think a lot of the time people look at worship as a genre of music, mm-hmm. and it's not. It's not rhythm and blues or rap music, or it's not, you know, worship. I mean, it is worship music. They call it worship music, but I think my mind has to get out of the fact that it's not a genre of music. It's my life. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that the Lord, you know, a lot of the times we have like a priority list where like, okay, first I'm going to spend time with the Lord, then I'm going to, you know, with my kids and or my husband and my kids and job. You know, you have this list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And something the Lord's been, you know, again, putting on my heart is that he doesn't want to just be at the top of the list, but he wants to be the list. Mm-hmm. And he Amen. Is everything. Mm-hmm. And he has to be prior. He has to be everything and in everything.
Mm-hmm. You know, you hear we all go to church. And you say that we're, you know, I agree with you completely that worship is absolutely every day, all day, any time of day. That conversation with the Lord, whether in song or in prayer or, you know, just that experience. But so many, I know, they look at it as a separate function of Sunday service, mm-hmm. one that is almost optional mm-hmm. sometimes. And you stand up in front of these people week in and week out, and how do you draw them into a passion to want to be at church early, to you know, want to grasp that is such an important start.
Yeah.
To anything that's going to happen next. How do you move the people to that culture of worship in your church?
I think one of the main things, this is funny. So I remember one morning, we set up, we go early before church, and, you know, we put all our things together. I remember one of the worship team members one morning told me, it's like, oh, man, we should start later worship, you know, because hardly anyone's here when we first start, mm-hmm. right? And I said, it doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because this is if you want to draw people in, this is the first thing that I've learned for 25 years. I've done so many different things. But this is what I understand now, that my first ministry, you minister to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because it's the Lord, he says, I bring the increase. Mm-hmm. Holy yeah. Spirit is the good teacher. Mm-hmm. He's a good shepherd. He mm-hmm. is the counselor. He leads us into all truth. He says, Jesus says, if you lift me up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Mm-hmm. So as a worship leader, I am responsible to lead people into worship. Secondly, though, mm-hmm. my first ministry, I minister to the Lord. Mm-hmm.
So
in any context, in whatever I do, whether mm-hmm. it's music, leading a small group, preaching a mess, I do it all from the same place. Mm-hmm. And it's ministry to the Lord first. So if there's 5 people there, or 1,000 people there, it makes no difference to me. It doesn't move my heart at all. Because my ministry to the Lord first, it moves his heart, and that's what I'm there for.
Amen.
So he's the best leader. He's the best draw. He's better than the lights. He's better than the smoke. He's better than the donuts on Sunday morning.
Amen.
The presence of the Lord. And so for so many years, and I think in church culture, in Western church culture even now, for so many years we've gathered around a Sunday morning has been gathered around a Sunday morning message. Mm-hmm. That's why people gather to church. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the Israelites or what God calls people to do, he calls them to gather on the presence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what he calls.
Right.
So bring that Ark of the Covenant, bring it back to Israel, put it in the temple, set up the temple, burn this incense. Mm-hmm. So for so many years, we gather around a man, a pastor, a great teacher. So many people have come because of him. And God anoints people, and I honor and bless people. But the main thing is that what the Lord calls us to is, he says, gather all my presence.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Everything in that place is so much more effective. Mm-hmm. So one word from Holy Spirit, as opposed to 10,000 from me or the best preacher in the world, I'll take the one from Holy Spirit every day of the week.
Amen.
And so ministry to the Lord first.
Amen. So beautifully good. Said.
Beautifully said. And we're done.
So let's worship.
That is. That's everything, actually. Kimmy, we're going to take a break real quick here. Mm-hmm. But when we come back, you've partnered with your partner in life, in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know that many of us married people can actually say we literally partner in our ministry work together.
Yeah.
And I want to hear more about that, especially you're standing next to your husband on stage and he's in the presence of the Lord. And wow, what does that do for your spirit, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. how then can you encourage us wives out there to
yes.
be a partner in the ministry that your husband has been called to?
Yes.
And you've been called to too, I'm mm-hmm. sure, but to do it together, there's challenges to that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's huge blessing to that united front.
Yep.
And we don't want to covet that, but we do want to share that
yes.
with everyone. And we want to encourage those out there who are married,
yes.
who want to do ministry life together. How do we do it? How do we make it work in our family? Stick with us. We're here with Ross and Kimmy Yamamoto.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back. This is Lani Ka'a'a with Susan Maurer and the Yamamotos, Ross and Kimmy. And you know, in that last segment, something so powerful was said. We gather around the presence of the Lord on mm-hmm. Sunday. Mm-hmm. No other reason comes first beside that. That is life-changing perspective. Mm-hmm. So, Ross, thank you for sharing that. I want to repeat that. We gather together because God calls us to gather around his presence, mm-hmm. not a teaching, not a music session, not a children's church. You know, we gather because he calls us to come together around his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen to that. Ross and Kimmy Yamamoto, worship leaders today at New Hope Hawaii Kai, were once called to travel to the mission field. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I do want to talk what we alluded to before we went on the break is, Kimmy, you worship alongside your husband. It's a partnership. It's a oneness that you work in ministry together. How do you make that work?
I ask Holy Spirit every day what to do and how to respond or encourage him. We went through, and I guess we'll talk about this later, but we went through a really rough patch between 2009 and 2013. And when we came home from that, I realized that most of that time I was subconsciously blaming him, blaming Ross mm-hmm. for what all had happened. And the Lord just convicted my heart and was like, you had a part to play in that mm-hmm. too. And so in the last, I'd say, 4 years, the Lord has really been leading me into a place of what it means to be a wife and how to support my husband and hold him accountable. And that I have a role to play as far as loving him when it's hard mm-hmm. and to say the hard things and to love him in that way. Because before I would be like, oh, I didn't want to say anything, or I'd be scared to say something, or, you know, I didn't want to cause any friction or whatever. And so I would just be like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. Okay. And, but Holy Spirit's really just been encouraging me and helping me to communicate with him in ways that I never have. Mm-hmm. And it's changed the face of our marriage. I mean, wow. It's been good.
Okay. We have to dial back. We just do. We just missed a whole season, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Let's go 10 years back. How about that?
Yeah.
Walk us through your, maybe it has to do with the mission work. Walk us through that period of your life.
So we had always been encouraged by a ministry called International House of Prayer, which they call IHOP, mm-hmm. but it's
love
International
that.
House of Prayer. They are in Kansas City, Missouri. And they have a 24/7 prayer ministry that they stream online, and so we would watch this all the time, watch their the worship and prayer, and he would go to the conferences that they would have every year, and he would come home from these conferences going, I want to move there, I want to move to Kansas City, and I'm like, no. I'm not moving to Kansas City. And anyway, after a couple of years of this, just where we were at in life, we had debt and just financially, and just I was just like, no, this isn't the time to do it. And then finally, it felt like he brought it up again. You know, I really feel like the Lord wants us to move to Kansas City, and I was like very closed off, and Holy Spirit was like, you didn't even ask me.
Oh,
and I was like, yeah, well. I don't really want to know the answer. So I'm like, okay, I didn't. Yeah, you're right. So one night I just got my Bible and my journal out, and I started writing in my journal, and I just allowed the Lord to just speak to me. And by the time I was done writing all these things, I was so excited to move to Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm. And isn't there a song about that? Ross, what do you think? Did you sing it?
No, there is a song about it.
And wow. So I was very excited. I got vision. The Lord gave me vision for our family and for our ministry and where we were at for moving to Kansas City, Missouri.
Wow. What year was that?
That was 2008.
Thank you.
And I was pregnant, and so you know, we were just about to have a baby, and now we're like, hey, let's move to Kansas City. And so we had about a year to, you know, sell everything and you know, have a baby. And that was our third child that I was pregnant with. Wow. And so in August 2009, we moved to Kansas City, Missouri, and we did an internship at International House of Prayer. Wow. And you want to take it from there?
Sure. So prior to us moving, I was in the car business. Selling cars, and then I had progressed. I was doing some finance in the car business, and so finally we are on the same page to move to Kansas City, and the Lord released us to go to Kansas City. And so we had packed up everything, sold what we could, and we moved. And 2009 we moved to 2012 13 was the for us as a married couple, the roughest season of our lives is street wilderness. Yeah. So the International House of Prayer is, they're called intercessory missionaries. So this 24/7 House of Prayer has been going for 21 years. Now. Wow. I think it's 21 years. Night and day, 24/7, has not stopped. In the spirit and tabernacle of David is what they call it. And so it is a house set up to just bless the Lord, minister to the Lord. And then they do intercession and different things, sing through the Word of God a lot. So that's why I moved up there. We did an internship. And then I came on staff over there. I played in the prayer room, led worship a lot, probably 5 times a week. And I was playing music probably another 4 times a week. So I was doing a lot over there. And shortly, probably 1.5, 2 years in. I mean, so as a missionary, you're trying to raise support. We're trying to raise support.
Right.
And it just never worked. And we ran out of money, so I had to go get a job. That's just what you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ran out of money, you got to go get a job. So I get a job, and I'm back working in the car business because that's what I knew, and I was fairly good at it. And during that whole that time, I just started getting angry and bitter. I remember saying to myself, I cannot believe I'm doing the exact same thing that I was doing in Hawaii, except this time I packed up my whole family, moved everything over to Kansas City, away from what we know, what's familiar to us, or ministry, whatever it is. And I was very angry. I was depressed. And that made it rough on, I think, our marriage and the whole concept of why we moved to Kansas City. Looking back, we know in hindsight, it was the Lord. It was, there's a specific reason. And I remember sitting around the table one day with a friend of mine, Matt, and another friend, Regan. We're sitting around this table. They're from Hawaii, actually. And I would avoid everyone. I didn't want to be around anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just pretty much was a recluse. So they got me out of the house. And we're sitting drinking coffee. And my friend Matt, he's very prophetic. He's like, and this is how he talks. He's from Hilo. But he's a tall, holly guy. He's like, bruh, I know why the Lord moved you to Kansas City. I was like, really? Please tell me, because I really like to know. Mm. I was very angry. He said, the Lord moved you to Kansas City to offend you. I was like, what?
Oh, my.
And then I didn't say anything, and then I just started crying. Mm. And the Lord is a gentleman, and so not in the sense that he moved me there to offend me, but I think to reveal this offense in my heart. So my idea of moving to Kansas City, where we've been leading worship forever, they're very known for their worship. Mm. They have a end-of-the-year conference, 20, 25,000 people. Honestly, in my mind, I thought I was moving to Kansas City to do that.
Mm.
That's what the Lord called me to do. My calling is to be a worship leader and to do that. And when I was back in the car business doing exactly what I was doing in Hawaii, then this offense rose up in my heart. I was very angry. And it's so gracious of the Lord to reveal that to me. Mm-hmm. Because I want to know now, the Matthew 24, when Jesus talks about his return, he says, in the last days that lawlessness will increase, many's love will grow cold. Mm-hmm. You'll be given over to tribulation and to martyrdom. And then offense is going to rise up in people's hearts. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing to me. Yeah. And what he says, if you tarry to the end, that you'll be rewarded. Right. So I believe that many people's love will grow cold. Mm-hmm. People say, I love Jesus right now. I believe their love will grow cold. Mm-hmm. And that verse, which is very hard to read and to understand, is that some people aren't going to make it who say they love Jesus right now, is a very reality to me. Mm-hmm. It really is. And so in that moment, the Lord was revealing all of these things to me. And so I was so grateful that he was gracious to me to show me that. And that offense in my heart, because I didn't think that why I moved to Kansas City and what the Lord's supposed to have done with my life, it was not what he was doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so in that moment, I mean, so many things broke in me in that moment. And one big thing was this. One of the main things I got out of that moment. So if you were to ask me into that moment, what is God's call on your life?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say I'm called to be a worship leader. I'm called to lead people into worship, mm-hmm. which is noble. I think it's a very great thing. It's a great, great thing to do. But I think if you ask anybody what their calling is, I think what they say reveals a lot about their identity. Mm-hmm. And so my identity was worship leader, ministry, doing all this stuff. Now, today, if you ask me what's the dream of my heart, what am I called to do? I'm called to fulfill the first commandment. Mm-hmm. I'm here to love the Lord thy God with all my heart. So my Mark 12 says, with all my strength, Matthew 22 and Matthew 12. And that's the dream of my heart. Mm-hmm. And so now the closet is the most important thing to mm-hmm. me, being with Jesus and not on the stage. I remember the Lord telling me, until the closet's more important than anything mm-hmm. else in your life, amen. You shouldn't do anything else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So go be in your closet. Just come mm-hmm. be with me, son. Mm-hmm. And so one of the largest lessons I learned in that moment was that loving the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength is my calling. He mm-hmm. said it's the first and it's the great commandment. Mm-hmm. So everything falls in line after that. But also great is different from first. Yeah. It carries the most weight. Mm-hmm. And so when you stand before the Lord, when I stand before the Lord, this is what he'll ask. How did you love? Mm-hmm. How did you love me? How did you love people? Mm-hmm. That's what he's going to ask me. Right. And the account of what I can give to that answer is what my life is going to be based mm-hmm. on. If I'm great in the mm-hmm. sight of the Lord or if I'm great in the sight of people. Mm-hmm. And so I want to choose the former. I want to be great in the sight of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I want to love him and I want to love people. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do. I love
that. Beautiful. That is awesome. You know, it's amazing that I hear two things as you're speaking out this testimony, and that one is just your obedience, you know, mm-hmm. but the yeah. patience in the obedience. I mean, you wanted to move to Kansas, mm-hmm. for years, and yet waited until the partnership was mm-hmm. unified. Mm-hmm. That's important.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. important.
Yes.
Because that's not always the case. No. And we have to learn that when we have become one in the Lord yes. as a married couple, we cannot move on our own anymore. We must move as one mm-hmm. together amen. Wherever God leads. That's mm-hmm. critical. I don't want to miss that. That was way in the beginning, I know. But the other thing is, my goodness, God took you that far to teach you that yes. lesson because he yes. loves you that much.
That's right.
Amen. I mean,
we all have to know that God will do what he must to get to us with his love, to teach us the very deep things so that we can fulfill his purpose here on earth. And I'm so glad you shared that because mm-hmm. people need that inspiration. People need to know they're not alone in this wilderness walk they're in the middle of right now. Mm-hmm. God is in it.
Yes.
He will finish it for his glory.
Amen.
Stay with us.
Mm. Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his
Aloha.
Special guest.
Aloha, it's Lani Ka'a here with Suzanne Maurer. We're in studio with Ross and Kimi Yamamoto. Really, you want to take this recording and send it to somebody. Mm-hmm. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listen to it from start to finish. It will change your life. And then the person that God puts on your heart, send them the link, because it's going to change lives when you listen to this. Mm-hmm. Listen to the full show. It's at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Ross and Kimi Yamamoto, they are back here. They are worshiping and leading worship at New Hope Hawaii Kai. What a blessed church they are to have you. Mm-hmm. But we just talked about just God taking you through an amazing wilderness, Ross, and the couple things that initially, but there are so many more lessons just within that very story. Your friends and circling yourself with friends who will speak into your life is one amazing part of that story as well. Mm-hmm. You receiving what they say mm-hmm. is even more awesome. Talk to us, and maybe I'll start with Kimi, about the importance mm-hmm. of that circle of friends in your life when you're walking this life with God.
Yeah, that's a really big thing that the Lord's been pressing on me for the last 10 years. You know, I have families that I'm surrounding myself with that are older than me, and I've watched them go through life. I've watched them in their journey with Jesus and raising their kids, and I kind of have come to the conclusion that the ones that their kids have continued to walk with the Lord mm-hmm. after they've graduated high school mm-hmm. are the ones that have stayed in community, stayed in the church, like, and not just go to church, but they actually have surrounded themselves with people that have poured into them that they are as well pouring into, and said, hold me accountable. Like, when you see me slipping up, or if you see some red flags in my life or whatever, I want you to tell me. And so that's just the common denominator I've seen with families that have are making it in their journey with the Lord, like where their kids are still pursuing Jesus and wholeheartedly in love with the Lord after, you know, after high school. That's it. And it's so important. And so even more so, I'm just like, I have to have people in my life. I'm not meant to do this thing alone. That's not the way the Lord designed it at all. And it's not just about checking the box or punching my card in on Sundays, but it's small groups. It's being a part of that, I mean, a small group and saying, I need you in my life to tell me if I'm off mm-hmm. And it, obviously it has to be someone that you trust and that you know loves you and loves your family and you have relationship with. But if, I mean, as harsh as this is to say, if you don't have that, I don't know how you do life. Like, I don't know how you can make it, because right. It's hard enough with that in my life, but if I didn't have it, I can't even imagine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And you've always been a part of small groups, leading small groups. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that are listening today that mm-hmm. they're not in one. Mm-hmm. There's a myriad of reasons
yeah.
mm-hmm. why they're not in one.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not. Yeah. And then when we were going through that hard time, that wilderness time mm-hmm. in Kansas City, that was probably the one time that we weren't a part of like a community. Wow. That was that 3.5 years of being there. We had people that would try mm-hmm. to connect with us and try to, you know, they would come over, and we did have a couple of friends that would ask us the hard questions and, you know, kind of get in our face and just hold us accountable. But you are only as accountable to someone as you allow yourself to mm-hmm. be. Mm-hmm. And so even if they were trying to come in at us, we weren't letting them in mm-hmm. or, you know, and so it's a two-way street. It has to be both. It's both and. And so, it's everything. Yeah.
You know, Lonnie, I really think that lots of times we don't realize enough that God created us for relationship.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, mm-hmm. of course, the relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. But the reason for that is so that we can help each other. We can walk through the struggled times together. Mm-hmm. We can be encouragers. And so that's where it's not just church, the small groups, mm-hmm. the intimacy mm-hmm. of the friendship, and then the like-mindedness mm-hmm. of our trust and love of God. It makes all the difference.
Absolutely. You know, I always think the great lie of the enemy is that independence is where it's at.
Yes.
It's interdependence.
And if you're not, you're dependent. And dependence is a very bad thing.
Yeah,
but we're not talking about either, right? We're talking about what you just said. We're talking about interdependence, mm-hmm. a co-walking together. Mm-hmm. Not I lead you, you lead me, I'm the boss. You know, it's not that vision, which is what the world sees independence and dependence as. But when you talk about the community, that's really where God does His best work, mm-hmm. right? So your friends speak into your life in Kansas. Mm-hmm. You pick up and... what happens next?
So really, in the matter of finding out that I was very immature and had this offense in my heart towards the Lord, probably in a month, month and a half, the Lord sent us back to Hawaii. So shortly after, I told Kimmy, hey, I think we should explore moving back to Hawaii. She said, let's do it. So we kind of took some steps. But in a matter of month and a half, I was back on Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
I had a job. Kimmy stayed back in Kansas City to
sell the house,
detox mm-hmm. from me, and wrap some things up. Which really does speak to when we moved back, we started a church. Mm-hmm. It was called the Living Room, and it was basically a small group.
Okay,
it was a house church.
Home church.
It was a house church, and for 5 years, every single person that came in and out of that place, every couple, mm-hmm. We saw some crazy healings. It was basically a hospital. Mm-hmm. But whoever came in, if they're willing to, what we like to say, is stay on that surgery table and just don't get off. I'm telling you, we got our relationship, all the damage from being angry and depressed, all that stuff. And we walked through a lot of counseling and different things. But that restoration process in this house church, in this small group, is why I think we're still here today and still married. And probably, honestly, better than we've ever been, honestly.
For sure.
And we've been married for almost 22 years now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question. The Lord takes you through this wilderness, teaches you probably the most amazing heart lesson. It took a lot.
Yeah.
Why do you do it? What's that? What's that reason? Where are you at now?
Your question is, why did the Lord do it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's just kind to me. That's why.
Yeah,
the Lord is, like I said, the only thing we can bring Him in this life, one of the only things we can bring Him, and it's so changed when He returns or you die and you get to heaven, is voluntary love.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything the Lord does in my life, in your life, in my family's life, in Kimmy's life, is this, I believe, is that He'll use everything to remove everything that hinders love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what He wants.
Mm-hmm.
He wants. That's why He said it's the first commandment. It's the greatest commandment. Mm-hmm. Everything that's hindering that, me from loving Him, me from loving people, He wants to remove it.
Mm-hmm.
And so spending thousands of dollars, getting into tons of debt, spending 4 years freezing in Kansas City, which we actually liked, all that was a result. The result is for me to love Him more, for Kimmy to love Him more, for my kids to actually know Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and my kids do, and my oldest really is, she hears from the Lord. She worships the Lord. Yeah, so it is,
Amen.
That's the whole reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's because He loves me, and He wants me to love Him. Mm-hmm. That's why. Yeah.
Ross, we've got 30 seconds left, but I'm going to ask you if you'd pray for our audience.
Yeah.
And wherever the Lord leads.
Sure. Oh, Jesus, we just love you. We honor you. You owe us nothing. Mm-hmm. You owe me nothing. I actually deserve hell. That's what I deserve. But instead, you give me everything. And then you put a robe of royalty on me. You give me access to the throne of God, to stand before you, to make intercession, to be loved by you, to even offer you worship. You actually draw me into that place. You actually draw us into that place.
Yes.
It's what you do. It's the gospel. You sent, Father, you sent Jesus, your only son. You so loved the world that you gave, and you continue to give. Mm-hmm. And it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. Mm-hmm. It's your kindness that constantly leads me to your feet. And so I'm asking, as according to Ephesians 1, that for myself and whoever's listening, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
God, we want to know who you are, mm-hmm. like truly. Because if we don't know who you are, if we think that you're disappointed, if you're angry with us, we'll never come to you. We'll never approach you. But that's not who you are. You actually love us and you actually like us. You actually beckon us in. And you say, come, just come to me. Would you come to me? And so I'm asking for that spirit of wisdom and revelation even now, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Bring understanding, change minds, wrong ways of thinking that keep us running from you instead of running to you.
Yes.
Remove everything that hinders love so that we may love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We just love you, and we honor you, and we bless you. Give us everything. And so here's our love. Here's our voluntary love to you. Take our lives. We just say we love you. You're worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Mahalo.
Wow, inspiring words. Thank you, Ross.
Thank you.
Ross and Kimmy Yamamoto, worship leaders, New Hope Hawaii Kai, lovers of the Lord, lovers of others. Folks, there is no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone else, someone near you. And if you don't know his love, if you want to know more about his love, today is the perfect moment to open your heart to him. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. We have a link called Get to Know Jesus. Click on that. There's a lot more information for you. To help us with any financial support, make a donation. We'd also be blessed. TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. Click on Partners. We want to thank you in advance for your help. 1 Chronicles 16:23 says, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to our guests, Ross and Kimmy Yamamoto. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata. I'm Lani Ka'a'a, in for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll leave.